Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Small Talk podcast. My name is Katie Fairman and I think today's episode has all the ingredients for being the best one yet. I know that's quite a bold claim to make at the start of a podcast episode, but I have just returned from attending Zandvoort, going to the Dutch Grand Prix, and what an incredible experience that was. I had probably the biggest interview of my career to date with Max Verstappen. Don't know if you've ever heard of him. I also interviewed his teammate Sergio Perez. I had lots of other commitments over the weekend, some of which I will tell you about in this episode. I met Steve Carell, which is just life complete. I am such a huge fan of The Office. It's my go-to show. I mean, we'll talk about this later, but Steve Carell was on the ground. I snapped a cheeky selfie because I couldn't not. And just generally, I had a wicked weekend. The Dutch fans are absolutely wild. The atmosphere around the event was crazy. And there is so much I cannot wait to talk to you about. So without further ado, grab yourself a cuppa. I haven't had a good cup of tea in probably about a week, so I'm really going to enjoy the one that I've got for this episode. And let's jump into the intro.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's begin with the beginning is a good place to start. I traveled to Zandvoort via a car. I went with journalist Claire Cottingham. I know I've talked about her a million times on this podcast, but she was kindly driving to Amsterdam, Zandvoort Way anyway. And so I tagged along as her passenger princess this weekend. And we got the Euro shuttle or Lee shuttle from Folkestone and went to Calais and drove through Calais. You drive through part of France, part of Belgium, but only very quickly, and then through the Netherlands. And it was about, after you got off the shuttle, probably about a 4-hour drive, but it was still quite a good way of doing it and actually saved us a lot of hassle, because on Monday, yesterday, when we were traveling back, there was an issue with the technologies and air control in the UK. And so I know a load of people that have been stuck in the Netherlands and can't make their way home, which is obviously an unfortunate thing. And some people have to go to Monza this week. So they're either going to have hardly any time at home or might just have to go direct to Monza, which is not helpful, but it just shows how much we rely on these technologies. But anyway, off topic. So we got in the car and then traveled Wednesday evening, ready to go to the circuit early Thursday morning. And for those of you that are listening, you might be familiar with the format of how an F1 weekend works. So Thursday is media day, essentially. And that's the day that I go, I pick up my pass. I have documents that I have to get signed by my publication, which is Sports Illustrated. And the FIA also have to have sent a confirmation letter and all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of admin that goes on. But essentially, I hand over my documents to people that hand out the passes. And in return, I get my shiny piece of plastic that lets me in the paddock, which is super exciting. And I can't believe I'm collecting these paddock passes. Like, I'm definitely the kind of person that will find some sort of display for them and hang them up proudly. They're not going to be shoved in a drawer. They are going to be on display in my office somewhere, because I am so, so proud of them every single time I get one of them. But headed to the circuit on Thursday, and I didn't have my interview with Max and Checo until sort of the middle of the afternoon. So kind of just walking back and forth. I try to attend as many open media sessions as I can. So the first one was Valtteri Bottas at Alfa Romeo. So we go, basically all media are invited to them, and you can go up to the motorhome, take a seat, and then Valtteri appeared and people could just ask any questions they had. And because it was summer break, a lot of the questions that started were like, how was your summer? He did a cycling race in a Duffman costume. And so one of the journalists asked about that and if he'd not been tempted to try and do it in a Homer Simpson outfit and what the prize was. And that was really nice. Catch up with Valtteri, got to see the mullet and the moustache up close. I know I said in the last episode, episode that I thought he'd be wearing his cowboy hat for the remainder of the season, but nope, he was still in his baseball cap, so that was fine. And then did a couple of those. I actually attended one with Lewis Hamilton. That was interesting. I decided with all of these, I'm always like, you are only going to be here. Well, I say you're only going to be here once. Hopefully that's not the case, but I don't know when I'll be able to do opportunities like this again. So what I'm trying to do is seize the moment while I can. So instead of sort of hiding myself at the back of the room, I normally try and find my way up to the front. And so I was literally sat within like a 2 foot of Lewis Hamilton and lots of questions being asked. And I thought, I am going to just go for it. Put my hand up and I got picked. And so I asked Lewis if he's kept in touch with Sebastian Vettel, because you know that was like such a wholesome friendship that they had going on. I have the recording on my phone, but I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share it. So rather than risk getting in trouble, I will reenact the situation for you guys. So I said to him something like, "Hi, Lewis." I wanted to make sure I started it with saying, "Hello, have you kept in touch with Sebastian Vettel much since he retired at the end of last season?" And I've listened to it back just now to remind myself of what his answer was, but I made Lewis Hamilton laugh, okay? And I will take that with me to the grave, because that's just insane. So he was saying that yes, him and Seb do text regularly. He said that he saw him at the Monaco Grand Prix when Seb attended, and then said that actually Seb had texted him over the summer break and that he hadn't gone back to him, to which then I still had the mic in my hand. And so in front of all these journalists and other people, I went, "You left Sebastian Vettel on red," to which Lewis laughed. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is insane." And he was explaining that when he was on his summer break, he was basically putting his phone in a safe. He'd said in an earlier answer that when he was on summer break, he didn't think about F1 once, which, I mean, fair enough. I wish sometimes with summer break and how long it feels, I could be like that. I'm thinking about F1 every day of summer break. But yeah, I thought, like I said, I don't know when I'm going to get these opportunities again. So I've just got to find that confidence within. And don't get me wrong, it's not an easy thing. I mean, so far, the two questions that I've asked in these kind of big things, I haven't stuttered my way through. That's always my biggest paranoia, is that I will either ask a question and people around me will think it's stupid, or I will trip up over my words or something along those lines. But I think that's just the imposter syndrome in me going, you can't do this. So I am glad that the ones I've done so far have all gone smoothly, touch wood. But yeah, I just thought, screw it, girl. You don't know when your next going to be here, apart from the fact that I will also be in COTA, but I don't know if there'll be a sit-down session like this with Lewis. He might be in the press conference or something like that. So I was just like, yep, grab every opportunity with both hands and run with it. So yeah, there we go. Making Lewis Hamilton laugh. Just amazing. And I really wish I could play the clip, because I'm really proud of it. But like I say, I don't want to risk getting in trouble. And then the thing that was the big interview of the day was Max Verstappen. And I have really not had much time with Max. I know I mentioned in a podcast for Silverstone that I asked him a question in the press conference, but apart from that, like, there's really not had any chance to see him, spend time with him on any kind of level. And the one thing that Claire told me, the journalist I was mentioning at the beginning of the episode, is she said that he can be very stary and he likes to keep eye contact. And that is something that I'm really trying to improve on this year. I had a really, somebody that I have so much respect for, I won't say her name just in case, but a PR that has worked in Formula One, she's now doing some bits in Formula E. In the Formula E season this year, she came up to me and said that she almost sees like a younger her and myself. And she said, like, have more confidence, keep more eye contact with the people that you're interviewing, and, you know, just go with it. And that advice has really stuck with me a lot, because, like I say, I have so much respect for her. And so to get her to give me advice like that, and she's totally right. And I knew that I did it. Sometimes I would really struggle with that eye contact element of it. So I've really been trying hard, both in Formula E and Formula One, to maintain that eye contact. And actually, it does help me just grow confidence naturally. And so I thought, right, Max Verstappen, you and I, we're going to have a stare off here. Obviously, it wasn't quite as intense as that. There was blinking involved. But yeah, that was my one thing of like, maintain that eye contact, Katie, and get through this. And the brilliant thing about the interviews that I do with Sports Illustrated is that they can be about anything, really. The brief I got at the beginning of the season was Sports Illustrated wanted to show them more off as people, as athletes. the majority of their audience might not be diehard F1 fans. They might just be casual fans who see something, oh, Max Verstappen, I've heard about him, I'll click the article. They might not care about Red Bull's DRS or the characteristics of the Zandvoort circuit, but they might be interested in, like, we talked about what he's been watching on Netflix recently, for example, and he said that he was watching the Tyson Fury, or it's more like the Fury, I don't know what you call it, like docu-series on Netflix. It's a bit like reality TV. I think it's called At Home with the Furies. But Max said that he's been watching that. And so I said to him, really? I didn't put you down as somebody who would enjoy that kind of thing with your Molly Mays and all that kind of stuff. But he's full of surprises. We also talked about his cats, which, you know, sometimes I think there are journalists that have been doing this for 30, 40 years. You know, they're the ones that always say, oh, I've been at every Grand Prix since 1979 and all this kind of thing. And then I'm coming in two races in and asking a two-time world champion about his cat. Sometimes I do think, am I doing this right? But actually, he really opened up about it. He told me about an incident that he had earlier this year where one of his cats got stuck in a cupboard. You might be familiar with the story, but essentially, he said that when he does his streaming and his esports at home, normally he's got a couple of cats, I think, and they'll come into his room that he's got and, you know, either sit by the monitors or play sort of around his feet, which I guess can be a bit risky if you've got pedals and things. But he said that he'd noticed that one of his cats hadn't been in for about an hour or so. And so he paused his game and went to go and find it. And he could then hear this meowing coming from a cupboard in the hallway. And so he thought, okay, well, I'll just open the door. So she's probably somehow shut it on herself. And the door wouldn't open. And so what he had to do is break down the door with a hammer because the cat had moved. Basically, I think he's explained it like one of the gates that you get. And so it can either be like a dog-proof gate or a child-proof gate, the ones that you can sort of assemble in a doorway so to stop certain people from going through. And from, yeah, what he explained, that had somehow fallen. Like the cat maybe jumped on it in the cupboard and it had fallen, shut the door, and then stopped you from being able to put the door handle the full way down. So yeah, he smashed down this door with a hammer. Very gently, of course. He absolutely adores his cats. And he was saying like he had to be so careful with the placement of where he was putting the hammer at first because he didn't want to hurt the cat, of course. And oh, it all sounded like a real drama. But I think that he liked the fact that he wasn't being asked about, oh, what's it like winning all the time? How do you make yourself so competitive? Why this? Why that? Like, don't get me wrong. I still ask some of those questions, but I try to change it up a little bit. Like I asked him about what it's like to have a home race, but I asked him to explain it to me in three words. So that was interesting. And actually, I asked Checo the same question and they both had very different answers. I can't remember them exactly, but Max was something like exciting, relaxed, which was one of the key ones, and something else. And Checo's was slightly different. I'll see if I can find them on my phone in the recordings. But yeah, that was really, really cool. And what else did we talk about? I asked if he did much DIY because he had this hammer to hand to knock down the door, to which he said no, that his dad does most of his DIY for him. So it's good to know that world champions still have to rely on getting their dad over to help them assemble some shelves or something. But that was very, very special. And lots of people have asked if I got nervous beforehand. And actually, don't get me wrong, there's some nerves and I think it's natural to have nerves. And sometimes I think it's good to have nerves because it means I'm aware of how amazing this opportunity is. I never want to be somebody that takes any of this for granted at all because it's just such a pinch me moment. But I was a lot more relaxed than I thought I would be. I interviewed Sergio first and he was lovely. I don't want to talk too much about the topics we discussed because I want to save that for when it goes live. I don't want to spoil anything. But he was super friendly and chatty. And yeah, I really enjoyed speaking with Sergio. And then, yeah, Max was after that. He was a few minutes late. That's the thing that made me a bit nervous, is that it was meant to be at 3:15 or something. And then it got to 3:15, it got to 3:16, it got to 3:17. And these minutes seemed to drag on for ages because I was thinking, oh my gosh, what if he doesn't show up? Or but he was all good. And actually, at the end of the interview, they said, oh, like, we allocated more time for this. And so I had asked all my questions. I mean, I would have loved to have stayed and chatted with him off the record for 5 minutes, but actually I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Well, you can have 5 minutes of your crazy day to chill out. Like, I don't mind. That was my Thursday. Amazing. I'm so thankful to Red Bull. I must stress that. The fact that Red Bull were so on board straight away and willing to let me speak to Max and Checo in the same day and on Max's home weekend, I'm so appreciative of. Then we had the actual racing and on-track action. And obviously the biggest story of Friday was Daniel Ricciardo. He has been back. This was his third F1 weekend back with AlphaTauri. And I mean, it's so frustrating. Like, the amount of times this weekend I sort of just be like, Oh, Daniel, why did this have to happen? But the reality is, some context for people that maybe don't know. There was an accident with Oscar Piastri at the banking in Zandvoort, and Daniel was coming around the corner, didn't see the yellow flags to warn him of an oncoming incident. And then, from my opinion, looked like he was a bit spooked to see Oscar there. He said himself he either had the option of crashing into Oscar or going into the wall. And with all of this split-second judgment, he forgot to take his hands off the steering wheel, which is like rule number one when you crash in single-seaters and things like that, or any kind of racing. Take your hands off the wheel because it will snap and so will your hands. And that's exactly what happened. So almost immediately, he knew that he'd done something to his hand. He got out the car holding it, and you know, you think, I know it was only in free practice two session, but the adrenaline you've got going around in your body sometimes can maybe tell you that you feel fine when actually you are hurt. But the fact that he instantly knew something was wrong, he was like really in a lot of pain from his radio messages, like we knew it wasn't going to be very good. So yeah, he has broken his hand, his left hand, and he was replaced by Liam Lawson, which we can talk about in a minute. But yeah, I'm just so gutted for him. I would say he doesn't have any luck, but it's one of those difficult tightropes to balance, because the reality is he made the mistake, right? You know, everybody loves Daniel Ricciardo. Every F1 fan has a special place for him in their hearts. But the reality is he messed up there, and he's since had to pay the consequence of being out of the car. He's had surgery on it now. And for somebody like Lance Stroll, obviously I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical student, but I'm guessing different bones have different healing times or different links to how quickly something will heal. So where Lance Stroll in the winter break broke both of his wrists, he was back in an F1 car in 2 weeks. And we've also seen that in F1 Academy. Hamda Al-Qassabi broke her wrist and then won an F1 Academy race all within a 75-day time span. So it's difficult to sort of label how long recovery will take for something like that, but the hopes are that he'll be back for Singapore, which will be good, as much as I'm amazed at what Liam did and managed this weekend. But yeah, that was the big story of Friday night. So everyone was kind of waiting for updates there. We were going down through the paddock to try and find any scoops or what people knew, but as a no surprise, people at AlphaTauri remained fairly tight-lipped. So it was a case of just waiting for the information to be made public. But we did spot Liam Lawson going into the Friday evening driver's briefing, which kind of gave some indication. Like, I'd spotted him. He was in the paddock over the weekend, and I remembered that when Ricciardo was hurt, and I thought, well, Liam is here and he's a reserve driver. So that's probably some weight of AlphaTauri and Red Bull's mind. But yeah, he then attended the driver's briefing, which actually isn't too rare. A lot of reserve drivers will attend those driver briefings. Somebody mentioned to me that Ricciardo has been in quite a lot this year with the Red Bull guys, just to kind of get familiar and be, you know, just in the present in the moment. So it wasn't a case of like, yeah, it's a done deal, because, you know, any driver can kind of go in there if they want to. A few hours later, yeah, we got the confirmation that Daniel had suffered this break and Liam would be in his place. And to give Liam Lawson credit, he did a great job this weekend. The race, especially in those crazy conditions, he managed to finish 13th and ahead of a lot of well-respected people in Formula One. Yeah, credit to Liam for navigating those wet and wild conditions on Sunday so well. Qualifying, there's maybe still some room to improve, but generally, he had a little spin as well in FP3, but, you know, at least he didn't end up in the wall like the Haas drivers. Both Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg both caused red flags and caused a lot of expensive damage to those Haas cars this weekend. So at least Liam didn't join that kind of club. But four driver changes now at AlphaTauri in that other seat is a lot. And I'm expecting AlphaTauri are crying out for some consistency now, because although, you know, three talented drivers in that car with De Vries, Ricciardo, and now Lawson, the reality is that the feedback they need, each driver is completely different with the feedback that they give, both in how they explain it, how they describe it. So that's not going to be very helpful for AlphaTauri, I can imagine. But perhaps by having lots of different people explain it in different ways, maybe that will be beneficial. I don't know. I'm not an engineer or anybody like that. So but I imagine by having one person who can tell you from the start of the season to the end of the season how the upgrades are working, how this is happening, it's going to be better than having lots of jumbled feedback on different things. I have to give a shout out to the Dutch Grand Prix organisers, or at least the people that looked after the media centre this weekend. Obviously, it's only my second time as accredited media in Formula One, but we had the most amazing service from them, whether that was bringing over... Well, on the Friday, they brought round a tub of celebrations and were giving media chocolates. And that, for me, I mean, maybe my standards are too low, but I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I've just been given a little Twix bar, and I just thought it was a really thoughtful gesture. And then on the Saturday, they came round with a trolley and were giving us all these cookies, which they said were the best biscuits that you could buy in Amsterdam. So that must have been quite a journey to get them all made and then all brought over to Zandvoort. And yeah, these cookies are amazing, actually. I wanted to try and save them for as long as I could. And I also wanted to bring some back to the UK to let my brother try, because he also has a sweet tooth like me. And I thought, these are a really nice gift. I want to share them. So I actually had the remaining cookie this morning, and it was really, really good. But that was such a sweet and kind gesture. And then on the Sunday, they gave us all a bag of licorice, which I actually despise licorice, so I'm probably going to give that to my mum. So mum, if you're listening to this episode, there's a bag of licorice on its way to you. But they also had a little ceramic windmill in there. Obviously, the Netherlands known for their windmills. So I'm going to find somewhere, I'm sure, to proudly display that. Just all these little gestures I thought were so lovely. And yeah, the people themselves were so polite and kind. And yeah, I really have nothing bad to say about the way that the media were looked after. We had media shuttles as well. So if you wanted to go from the entrance of the circuit to the media center, we walked it a couple of times, including on the Saturday when it was chucking it down with rain. But they had little golf buggies that you could hop on and hop off, and just everyone was so cheery and happy. It was a really lovely atmosphere. And the media centre, I mean, media centres are kind of, they are what they say on the tin. You've got lots of TVs that you can watch the racing from. There's no commentary broadcast in the media centre, which I thought was quite an interesting thing that I didn't know. You do hear the radio messages. So if Alex Albon says something on the radio, you can hear that audio bite, but you don't hear any of like Alex Jakes or Crofty or anyone like that, which... yeah, it's actually quite nice to watch it and be able to hear it all without people talking over it. So that's a plus. And you also get access to lots of different data, which I put a picture up on my Instagram and said, it's like a data channel that I wish this could be included more in the broadcast. And loads of you got in touch and said, oh, you can get this on F1 TV. And I'm sure that's the case. And that, like, I really enjoyed following along with it. But I also wish that that was implemented more into the actual broadcast for people that maybe can't afford F1 TV or can't get it in their locations. Things like the mini sector splits. I know that whenever we see people doing qualifying laps or whatever, we get the first, second and third sector shown. But actually having the mini sectors, I think, is really interesting. What I'm getting to this point, I'm not just trying to talk to you about media centres, but they have an area for, I guess, like the canteen where we would have our breakfast and our lunches and our dinner served in there. And this room had the best views. It was like I was in Paddock Club. It was directly over the Ferrari and the Mercedes garages. And I could see Red Bulls where they were doing their pit stops. I could see Alpine and I could just about see McLaren. But I was just amazed. And because of the job that I was doing this weekend, I didn't have to write many, any reports, basically. I was there to do my one-on-one interviews and things like that. So I just took as much time as I could being able to actually watch the on-track action with my own eyes and not have to do it through a TV, because it seems so crazy that I understand for lots of journalists, they have to do it of sitting at a screen and watching it, but you've actually got the action happening a couple of meters away from you. So I took that opportunity to watch as much as I could and also just try and learn and absorb as much as I can. Also meant that come race day, guys, I saw the Ferrari Charles Leclerc stop in real life, and that was something, because you could see Leclerc come in. The rain was absolutely chucking it down by this point, but yeah, Leclerc came into his pit stop, and then it was like, oh my gosh, there are no tires. There's literally no tires. He's come into a pit stop and they're sat there ready to take off the slicks that he had on, but there were no other tyres available. But then it has transpired that was his call to come in early, and actually the time wasted for bringing out the intermediate tyres might not have been so bad compared to, you know, suddenly going off at turn one because you had slicks on and it was absolutely peltering it down with rain. So yeah, that was certainly something interesting though, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've just seen that happen in real time. But yeah, the pit lane there is so narrow, and also I've got so many thoughts on what I saw, but the speed that these cars go at, obviously I'm stationary seeing them hammer it down the straight there, and even in the wet weather conditions, I'm just in awe of how fast these cars go, and seeing the spray and everything like that. Also, the Dutch fans know how to party. They obviously had the insane sort of grid that they had going on with the DJs, and in between sessions they were playing the loudest tunes. We could hear it in the media center. We'd be trying to work and you could just hear like ns, 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 in the background, which for some people, like, I wasn't too bothered because it didn't really affect me too much, but I assume for people that were really on tight deadlines trying to focus in, that was probably a bit annoying, because the DJ booth was almost directly above the media center bar a few levels. But I wanted to make sure I caught as much on-track action this weekend and learnt as much as I can with my little eyeballs. Then the final thing, which was almost like a bow on the top of an amazing weekend, the cherry on top of the cake, if you will, is I got to see Steve Carell in person. And I don't want to say I got the chance to meet him, because whenever somebody says that, I'm like, yeah, but did you meet them or did you just have a 5-second conversation with them? I knew Steve Carell was going to be at the Grand Prix because there's a document that goes out at the start of a weekend and it says who the known figures are going to be at the weekend's race. So I guess you can maybe swat up a little bit if you see them on the grid, that kind of thing. And yeah, it said that Steve Carell was going to be there. And when I knew that, I freaked out because I am such a huge lover of The Office, especially the US Office. That is my go-to show. That's my comfort show. It's my little blanket. And regardless of what mood I'm in, I will always just put on The Office, whether I am in a really happy mood, whether I'm having a really down day and I need cheering up, like, that show is it for me. And I must have rewatched it now about 6-7 times. It's the best. And so as a result, Steve Carell has been responsible for so many, like, happy tears, sad tears, like, laughter, every emotion possible through his portrayal of Michael Scott in The Office, as well as in Crazy Stupid Love, that movie. If you have not seen that movie, do yourself a favor, watch it this week and let me know what you think, because for me, that is in my top 3 films of all time. And that's the same kind of feeling. I can watch that movie whenever I feel like I just need a nice warm hug and a bit of a laugh. Crazy Stupid Love is that movie for me. So Steve Carell has played such a huge part in a lot of my life without getting too soppy. And so when I heard that he was going to be at the Grand Prix, I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. I cannot wait, hopefully, to get a glimpse of him, let alone get a picture with him, which I actually managed to, which is insane. Yeah, so he was there at the race, and He was with Red Bull Racing this weekend, and he came out of the Red Bull Hospitality. And actually, I have to give a shout out to Matt and Tommy, because they were in the paddock this weekend, which was also another reason why this weekend was amazing, because I got to see two of my best mates at the racetrack, and the three of us hang out quite a bit this weekend, which was really, really cool. And just such a nice reflection of how far we've all come, even in the space of the last 6 months. So that was awesome. But yeah, they were with Red Bull and in their energy station, and they could see that Steve was coming out from having some lunch. And they also know how much I love Steve Carell. We all do. I mean, who doesn't? That's the other thing. Who doesn't love Steve Carell? And they sort of gave me the heads up that he was going to be coming out shortly. So I was ready there. And yeah, he walked down the ramp thing and was going to walk, I guess, to the grid or something like that. And I can't tell you the last time I was that starstruck, because I didn't have much of a voice. I saw him there and I was like whispering. I was going, Steve, Steve, Steve. And eventually we made eye contact and I said, I'm really sorry. You've probably been asked this a million times already this weekend, but please, could I get a photo? I'm such a huge fan of you and your work. And he was lovely. He was like, yeah, of course, no problem. And so we took the selfie. And normally, I don't know, like, there's a lot of, not pressure, but people say like, oh, you shouldn't really be taking photos with the guests and stuff. It's not very serious. But I think, well, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, I'm only here once. And it's just been a case of wanting to get some photos just to remember them by, because I'm not going to take any of this for granted. And so I thought that I've spent so many hours, days, years of my life watching Steve Carell that I can't not take that opportunity. And like I said, he was so lovely about it. And I'm sure I've seen pretty much everyone that I know in F1 got a picture with him this weekend. So he was probably selfied out by the end of it. The last time I was that starstruck, I've only really been starstruck apart from this weekend on two other occasions. And they were both with F1 drivers. So please don't judge me for this, guys. What happens on the Small Talk podcast stays on the Small Talk podcast, okay? I know you guys are my besties. I know you won't share this with anyone. But when I met Nico Rosberg in 2015, that was a big moment for me, because I had been a fan of his before. Even the idea of motorsport journalism had crossed my mind. I'd been rooting for Nico. And when I finally got the chance to, like I said, not really meet him, just literally get a picture with him, that was such a big moment for me. And I actually got quite emotional afterwards, which is embarrassing to admit, but we're all about transparency on this podcast. And yeah, that was really special for me, of meeting somebody who I had looked up to, supported through their highs, their lows, all that kind of stuff in sport. And I really hope that everyone gets their chance to meet their kind of idols, or however, like, you know, people in sport that you really appreciate and respect. But then obviously he retired from F1. And now it's funny, because I don't think I'd have that same reaction if I met him again, because I've matured a lot since then and just generally have a very different outlook to it. But for me, this was so early on in my motorsport sort of journey, if you will, that it was still very new and very surreal. And then the other person that I've fangirled over, whatever you want to call it, was Max Chilton, actually, because I met him at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, and this would have been in 2013. So this was really before I'd even started my blog. This was before then. And he was the first F1 driver I ever met. And I think the reason that I was so excited to meet him or see him in person, it was just like confirmation that these drivers actually exist, that they are real people. And that was a big moment for me, is of seeing my first F1 driver in person. And he was at the Marussia tent in the sort of F1 section of Goodwood. I remember I was with my dad and my brother, and I pointed him out and went, oh my gosh, that's Max Chilton. Oh my God. Like, I just couldn't believe it. And he came over to sign some pictures, and we asked him for a photo. The photo does exist somewhere. It's so embarrassing. Actually, do you know what? I'll find the image and I'll put it on the Small Talk Instagram page. So if you're not following it already, go and find Small Talk on Instagram. The handle is at Small Talk Podcast, all one word. I'll put it on there for you. But it is embarrassing. I had my braces then. I was wearing a t-shirt that said Dork on it, because who wears that? I mean, it was trendy at the time to have these sort of slogan tees, but so many regrets. But anyway, I met Max Chilton and I remember physically shaking. That's how much I was so like amazed to have met an F1 driver. I was shaking for this photo. And he probably was thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with this girl? But for me, that was such a big moment of, like I say, meeting an F1 driver in real life. So I'd say, yeah, they're my three people that I've ever been properly starstruck over. Max Chilton, Nico Rosberg and Steve Carell. That's like the ultimate, what do these three things have in common? And you're like, what on earth could they all have in common? Well, they're people that Katie has been starstruck by. But anyway, this has been a rather energetic and all over the place episode, but I really hope that you've enjoyed it. I know sometimes I get a bit, not self-conscious, but these podcasts are obviously me just chatting to a microphone, kind of in that voice note style. And I really appreciate that you guys are happy to listen to them through all of this, because I appreciate for a lot of it, it's me talking about myself, which is always like, I get a bit worried that, you know, don't worry, my ego is not being too inflated, but sometimes it's a bit weird just to hear somebody talk about themselves. But these moments for me are so huge, and I want to share them with you, because I also, maybe in a few years' time or whenever, 10 years, 20 years, if the internet still exists and hasn't imploded in on itself, I can listen back and think, oh yeah, I remember that happened. I am hoping to get this edited and recorded as soon as possible. And there's actually quite a lot of F1 news going around at the moment. So I'm going to try and record another episode maybe later on this week and chat through the FP1 rookies, which is finally starting to happen again. Maybe getting to know a few of the rookies that are taking to the F1 cars. Felipe Drugovich was announced today, so that's one we can talk about. Ferrari have got some new race suits for this weekend. We can chat about the Monza curse. We can chat about all of the various stories that have come out over the last few weeks now that summer break is over. But today I just wanted to focus a bit on Zandvoort. I will catch you guys in the next episode. Thank you again for all of the love and support on the podcast. It really means a lot. But for now, I'm going to love you and leave you. Thank you again, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.